Hi, folks. Bill Resnick again. Last week I talked to Lawrence Douglas, who teaches law, jurisprudence, and social thought at Amherst College. Talked about his book, Will He Go? Trump and the Looming Election Meltdown in 2020. We discussed in part one of our interview last week how he will never concede defeat. After all, he's not a loser. He acknowledges he went bankrupt 5 times, but then says, I made money on each one. But what about the workers, construction workers, and small business vendors who got paid pennies on the dollar? Well, he doesn't worry about that. Still, he won't concede. He may be forced out if he loses the election by a huge margin. And then he'd have to hazard private life, where he would be subject to numerous investigations, especially in his business dealings and maybe sex life. And he's going to try to rally his base to protect him and maybe even run for president in 2024 after a failed Biden administration. That's likely. That's one set of scenarios. More likely, the election will be close. He is counting on that, counting on it being decided in the swing states. And he and his forces are doing everything in their power, if he's losing the election by a narrow margin, everything in their power to call on his base and the militias and his Second Amendment people, calling them to create mayhem in the streets. Then, of course, calling in the police to dominate the streets, particularly with Republican governors in many of the swing states, to dominate the streets in the cities, and in the cities where left protesters will not back down. He could well do what he rehearsed recently in Portland, call in the military. In that case, some sort of declaration of martial law. That's, of course, the worst-case scenario. I'm afraid it could well happen. My sense is that he really fears the humiliation that will come from all those investigations into his life as a big-time grifter. In the second part of the interview, we discuss how Trump can still be stopped and forced into the hazards of private life. First, I asked Lawrence Douglas how these various terrible scenarios can be short-circuited, how he sees Trump being stopped.
I think the surest way to short-circuit it is to hand him a decisive defeat. And that decisive defeat, the clearer it is early on, the better our nation will be. Because I do think that if he's handed a decisive defeat, that wouldn't be subject to weeks and weeks of litigation and haggling, then even if he doesn't concede, that is, again, even if he doesn't recognize the legitimacy of the defeat, he's not going to have a whole lot of wiggle room with respect to creating a genuine constitutional crisis. He might, again, encourage mayhem. He might, again, encourage people to take to the streets. But he's not going to be able to trigger a larger constitutional crisis. So one thing that people could do, first of all, is if they're not prepared to vote in person, which I completely understand, I think it would be important to send those mail-in ballots early, to really not wait to the last minute, because the larger the glut of mail-in ballots, the longer it's going to take to count them. And that is going to play in Trump's favor. So I think that's an absolutely essential thing to do. I mean, I do think also that if there are protests that demand that Trump recognize his defeat, that it is absolutely crucial for people to remain peaceful in their protesting. That, and maybe this goes without saying, but I do think that Trump, he doesn't want to quell violence with the use of federal agents. I think he wants to trigger it, and that would play to his into his game plan. So, you know, I think we have to rely on the democratic means that are within our hands, and the democratic means are get out and vote. And there might be a lot of people out there who would have liked to have seen a more progressive candidate for president than Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. But my mind, at least, is this is kind of a code red moment for American democracy. And this is not a time to kind of sit there on the sidelines going, well, there really isn't that big a difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Oh, there is. There is a huge difference. It is really clear in this election season. So basically my little two bits of wisdom, Bill.
This is Bill Resnick for our Old Mill Variety Hour Collective on KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. I'm talking to Lawrence Douglas about the themes of his book, Will He Go? Trump and the Looming Election Meltdown in 2020. Last week, we discussed how Trump will try to steal the election. This week, we're discussing what must be done to stop him. Yeah, it seems to me that even before the election, and before his Second Amendment people are creating mayhem in the streets, and maybe agent provocateurs are prepared, even if the crowds are completely nonviolent and peaceful, and although determined and strong in their rejection of Trump, it seems to me that if we were able to get support before the election to do a march that carries all of the themes, that the votes have to be counted, that we all have to vote and vote quickly, that Trump is a real danger and he will likely reject a defeat, that we will not stand for it and have millions of people in the streets. That might send a signal, not to Trump or his base, they'll just dismiss them as fools that have been encouraged by the wily terrorists and communists to come into the streets. Trump will dismiss them, but the people who run things, that is, the corporate elite, as well as the military and maybe even the local police, although they're pretty unaccountable and have a lot of impunity all over this country, it seems to me that group, and especially the military, will be strongly influenced to not cooperate with the Trumpies and also put pressure on all those local legislators and governors, the Republicans, put pressure on them to cease their support for Trump. It seems to me that's a possible way of short-circuiting the Trump trajectory.
Yes, it's possible. You know, other things that I think could play a valuable role is I do think you could have citizens organize groups to make sure that there's no intimidation going on at polling places. Because I could imagine, for example, the administration trying to dispatch, let's say, ICE agents to areas in which people of, let's say, Latinx heritage are voting as an attempt to try to kind of chill them from exercising their right to vote. So I could imagine that also being an effective tool, let's say, on November 3rd, because I do think we just need to be extremely vigilant at this moment. And the more vigilant, peaceful, and committed we can be, then I think we increase the likelihood that this guy is going to be, at least will be forced to acknowledge that he has to leave office come noon on January 20th, 2021.
Yeah, one final thing. You discussed the struggle in Washington, D.C. when people in Lafayette Park and the protesters were very peacefully demonstrating. Trump had his Homeland Security people and very violently dispersed a very peaceful protest in front of a church and then do his photo op with his holding his Bible in front of this old church near the White House. That's when I think General Mattis, who was a highly respected military ranks, in any event, Mattis broke strongly with Trump and accused him of being the divisive and undemocratic. And he did a letter and an article in the press, widely circulated, and the letter was signed by many of the retired military officers that at the highest level, from the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the rest of them, of the generals. I think the Army does not want to get seen as the tool of one or another political faction or party. That may well carry the day, but maybe not with all of the commanders. I think the Army might, in fact, become an impediment to Trump's dreams.
Right. Well, I really have zero doubt that if, I mean, let's take a less ominous scenario, that Biden ultimately is sworn in on January 20th, so the nation knows that we have a freshly inaugurated president, and let's take a situation which I really don't imagine happening. I really don't imagine under those circumstances, after Biden has been inaugurated, that Trump would then just kind of barricade himself in the Oval Office. That I do not think is going to happen. At that point, who does the military follow? Do they follow Biden or do they follow Trump? And the answer, in my mind, is a no-brainer. They follow Biden. And not only do we have former Secretary Mattis coming out with really quite an astonishing statement that he published in the Atlantic Monthly, you know, accusing the president of basically dividing rather than uniting the American people. I think it's also was a pretty remarkable thing when General Mark Milley, you know, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that he apologized for appearing in the photo opportunity in that that Lafayette Square incident. That I thought was quite an astonishing thing for him to actually kind of take to the airwaves and to issue a real apology. And this is another thing, you know, it's something I kind of mention in the book. I think at one point I described Trump as a weak authoritarian. And I say he's a weak authoritarian not because his instincts are kind of weakly authoritarian. I think they're pretty powerfully authoritarian. But I think one of the things that's pretty remarkable about him or about his presidency is it's typically the case that authoritarians work very hard to enlist the support of a nation's intelligence community and the senior military officers. That those are kind of the bedrock institutions of support of authoritarian. And it's really interesting the way in which Trump has completely alienated the leadership of the intelligence communities and of the military itself. I would believe that many of them consider Trump unfit for office, which is really quite a remarkable state of affairs.
Yeah, I'm worried about not the decision if Biden is sworn in. That's easy for the military. Their basic interest is just making sure that they keep a lion's share of the U.S. federal revenue, and Biden will surely be their friend, and they'll have no trouble with him. I'm worried about when Trump and his base have managed to create chaos in the cities, and Trump orders the military to protect all of the good citizens and bring law and order to the cities. Now, how will the military then react when Trump is president? After all, it could be a legal order. And even if it's not a strictly legal order, who's going to stop him if he gives them the order? What will they do then?
That's a source of a lot of concern, because I do think, as you point out, between November 3rd and January 20th at noon, he is still the commander-in-chief. And as much as the military leadership might consider him unfit for office, I don't see them countermanding order coming from the commander-in-chief unless it was, you know, transparently criminal order. Now, you could imagine them trying to kind of soft walk an order, you know, to kind of follow it in the kind of the least aggressive way possible. But I agree with you that you can't imagine them countermanding an order. In fact, on another level, you almost don't want them to. I mean, that's a whole other kind of world of hurt in a way when once the military starts deciding that an order of the commander is not to be followed. I mean, that's also one of those kind of precedents that you don't necessarily want to introduce into a nation in which the civilian is meant to be the highest military officer.
Well, we face a very uncertain future. You outlined that Lawrence Douglas is great service. Our nation really has to prepare, as you pointed out. Thanks a lot for talking to us today. I sure hope that you're going to be able to write about the ways in which the great majority of the American people managed to protect at least an electoral democracy. I think we have a long way to go before becoming a real, authentic, participatory democracy where most people are involved in making crucial decisions. Maintaining electoral democracy is also crucial. So, Lawrence Douglas, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Oh, it's a real pleasure talking with you, Bill. I really appreciate the opportunity. Take care.
You too. Hi, folks. That's all for this interview. There just has to be a beginning because we have to be very well prepared to deal with Trump in the run-up to the election. And it's only a couple of months plus a few days from today. And we also have to be able to deal with Trump's scheming and machinations using his base and Second Amendment people and the police and maybe the military. Trump's effort to stay in power in the 2.5 months after the election. That is, if it's a close election, and it is likely to be close. The big question is, of course, if Trump is on his way to stealing the election, will millions and millions of U.S. North Americans be ready to act in some sort of determined general strike and set of actions that put the elite and the army and the military on notice that Americans are not going to stand for a Trump theft, and they may be unwilling to act if he can somehow create a situation where it might be possible to get them to act. More on this and other questions about who rules this country on cable in the Old Mole. Stay tuned and please contribute and donate to Cable Radio.